Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75, 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march or demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So you could just see $100,000, $600,000
deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here. Oh, man. He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor." Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes. I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you're finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back. Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking, They messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarion. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarion took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarion, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarion Styles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarion can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. for the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively. And you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
I made $3 million in just 6 months as a 20-year-old female entrepreneur, and you can too. Growing up, I was always in like the advanced classes. In high school, I was in the AP, the honors classes, and so even being separated from so many people, even starting at a young age, it definitely made me realize that I'm a little bit different. It was a little bit hard to fit in. I'm black, I'm Hispanic, I'm Muslim. I went through so many different phases of trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I remember there was a point in time where I wanted to be an engineer, I wanted to be an interior designer. My sophomore year, I lived with my dad. That same year, my brother Jamil lived with my dad, and we were always super close. First day I got there, he took me to his room, and he showed me the stack of books that he had. And one of them was called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he's like, you got to read this book. You got to start reading. It's really going to change your mindset. It's really going to help you be successful. He had this whiteboard on his wall, and it said, I will be a millionaire by 22. And in my head, like, I was thinking, like, where did he come up with that? Like, we've never seen a millionaire in our life. Money was never something that we grew up seeing. It was never something that we were familiar with. My family never had a lot of money in any aspect. I thought that it was amazing that he had such drive and could picture a goal that seemed so far off, but to him seemed achievable. Junior year, I was living by myself. I had actually moved away from my dad's, and I was living with family friends. The same year that I was living by myself, my oldest brother passed away. And when he passed away, my whole perspective on life changed. Everything, like school, the people that I hung around, what was important to me, how I was spending each day, because I really realized that life is so, so, so short. And the fact that my brother was taken at 22, I was only 16, and he was one of the closest people to me. And so I never understood why he was taken so soon. I didn't understand it. I was going through my own grieving process. It changed everything and put life into a different perspective. I really got very selective with what I was putting into my mind, the people that I was hanging around. I got very isolated. I started really just focusing on my art, on working, and really just being alone and focusing on my family. I was asking myself, I didn't see my brother before he passed away because it wasn't winter break yet, because I had to stay in school for winter break. Was school ever that important where I didn't see my brother before he passed away because I had to be at school? You could not even finish school and your life could be over. I have other things that are more important to me, my family, my time, what I want to do with my life. Because we grow up from kindergarten to 12th grade in school, we naturally rely on like who we are as a student as part of our identity. But what you start to realize is like all you're doing is giving power to someone else to tell you how valuable you are or to tell you how qualified you are. I didn't need someone else to tell me if I was worth doing a job or not, or if I was good enough to do something, because if I wanted to do something, I just had to decide to do it, and I don't need validation from someone else, whether that be a teacher, whether that be a professor, whether that be an employer, from anyone. You don't actually need validation from someone. You just have to decide within yourself that you're capable of doing it and go for it. Once I got into college and I started going through the day-to-days, I was working two full-time jobs. It was exhausting. I spent a lot of time doing things for other people. It was like I was doing my schoolwork for my teachers, but it didn't really make sense to me. I wasn't really understanding what I was supposed to get out of it. I was nannying to make enough money to survive, but it wasn't enough to do anything beyond that because I had to spend all my time working. One day I was sitting in class and I was listening to my teacher talk, and he gave us this huge assignment, and it was a predominantly white school, so everyone partnered up into these groups, and I was just sitting there by myself, and again I felt like I didn't fit in. I started to like just wondering, what am I doing here? These assignments, these aren't helping me progress in the area that I want to progress in. They're kind of just like buffer time. They're just busy assignments to keep us busy. It wasn't really what I needed to achieve the success I wanted. And actually at the same time, I was finishing up first semester of my freshman year of college. I got an interview with this very high profile family for nannying, and I'd never had an experience like that. And even when the experience came up, I kept asking myself, like, why me? Like, why am I getting this opportunity to work for such a high profile family? I'm an 18-year-old who's not even CPR certified. Out of all people, why would they pick me? And my mom kept telling me, like, that's not the right mentality to have. Like, who cares if you're 18 years old? You know that you're an amazing nanny. You know that you're caring, compassionate, that you know how to care for children. You've done that your whole life. And then I started asking myself, would I rather learn from a professor, or would I rather learn from a billionaire who has the lifestyle that I want and I could actually learn from him in person and see his lifestyle? So at the end of freshman year, I remember we were finishing up with classes, and I was listening to these tapes, and they said people who are successful make decisions quickly and they stick to those decisions. I decided right then and there, I was like, I'm going to be done with school. I'm going to drop out. And
And so that same day I texted my counselor and I said, please unenroll me from all upcoming classes. And she was like, oh no, like is something wrong? Is there something I can help with? And I was like, no, thank you. Just please unenroll me. I'll no longer be attending Maryville. If I'm not going to go to school, I have to figure out how I'm going to be a successful entrepreneur. I started reading books. I started watching YouTube videos. I was doing cosmetology. I learned how to do nails completely by myself. So after trying e-com, drop shipping, trading stock options, I finally started Airbnb, and Airbnb actually went amazing for me. I started off by renting. I actually didn't own any properties. I now have 11 Airbnbs that I rent. And even from that, I learned how to do rental arbitrage. And at first, I didn't really understand it fully, but I was learning as I went. I kind of went through the mistakes, the learning curve, figured out what worked and what didn't work. And then everyone started seeing, like, this 20-year-old girl is making five figures a month, making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a month from Airbnb without renting any properties. And everyone started asking me, like, can you teach me? Can you help me? Like, how are you doing it? If I can genuinely help someone else and make a difference in their life through something that I learned, then why not? Me and my partner, we decided to create a coaching business. Bryson played a huge role in helping in our success with Airbnb, even changing my mindset from when my brother first passed away. I was grieving a lot. I was really sad. When I met Bryson, he really helped me realize that you have to have a positive mindset if you want to attract positive things. Everyone started asking a ton of questions. So after we started our coaching business, we kind of just kept scaling and growing. We made up to $60,000 in a month from Airbnb. And then we started getting students who were also getting results. And so we started an entire coaching program. I was actually able to hire a lot of my family to work with me to keep scaling this coaching business so we could keep providing coaching to more and more students and give them more and more offers. We have done for you offers. We have mentorships. And that way there's something for everyone to learn and something for everyone to grow from. I remember when we first started our free class, I told my brother, I don't think you need to go to college, but that's just me. I promise you this month, I'm going to make $100,000 this month. June of 2022, I made $100,000 in a month. That was my first six-figure month. After that, I told my brother, like, I'm going to make $200,000 this month. In July, we made over $200,000. Our revenue just kept increasing as we started making more and more of an impact for more people. And in October, me and Bryson, we were like, we're going to make $1 million this month. And in October, we made $1 million. November, we made $1 million. Finishing up the end of the year, we generated over $3 million from our Airbnbs and also from our coaching. The intentional actions, the positive mindset, and actually living in what you say you're going to do, that's how we made $3 million. For most of the journey, me and Bryson, we pretty much kept everything low-key just because no one really understands it. And the way that we grew up, no one really had a lot of money. So imagine going to people who've never seen a lot of money and being like, we made $100,000 or we made $1 million at 20 years old. They're not going to understand. And there's just a lot of people who don't understand the concept of entrepreneurship. When we were finally able to start bringing our family in and bringing people in and actually changing their lives, I think it was so inspirational to them. What I realized is that making more money, you're not a different person. You're the same person, but it gives you so much more freedom and it gives you so much more opportunity. So for me, I've been able to work with my whole family and now inspire them and show them that there's so much more. And this is even them working with me now is just a stepping stone for what they can do and give them more time freedom so that they can do those things. Even being an entrepreneur and being a female or being a minority, it's definitely different. People look at you different. I walk into places, no one knows I have money, and they look at me, they kind of brush me off because they wouldn't think that I have money. Or I walk into a business setting with Bryson and they immediately talk to Bryson because they don't think that I have anything to do with the business. They just think that I'm there. But what they don't know is that I'm actually a female entrepreneur. And just because you're a woman doesn't mean that you can't be driven, that you can't be outspoken or say how you feel. If you have a dream, go after it and chase it. Don't let the people that surround you, don't let people that you grew up with, don't let your parents, don't let society tell you that it's not okay. I think a big thing is learning who to listen to. Because what I learned is that everyone has an opinion, but if they don't have what I want or they don't have the lifestyle that I want to live or hold the same values as me or the same morals as me, as much as I love them and as much as I respect them, it doesn't make sense for me to listen to them because they don't have what I want. And so what I would tell my younger self would be think bigger and learn who to listen to. And then not just that, but it's okay to be yourself. You don't have to feel scared if you don't fit in. You don't have to feel like you have to conform to society or to what people want you to be. Each day that you're intentional, little by little, even when you don't know it or when you can't see it, you're building the life that you want. You have to know what you want and be intentional behind it every day, and it'll come to you.
What's up, guys? This is Alex Martin, and this is the Content Creator Podcast, where I stimulate your mind and show you how to market your grind. And today, we're going to stimulate your mind. I got the legend, the icon, Freeway Rick Ross. How you doing today, bro?
I'm good. How you?
I'm
good, bro. Can't complain.
No doubt, no doubt.
I can't lie, man. Right now, I'm like, I got the jitters, you know. Because
I see you geeked.
Yeah, I'm excited. And first, I want to say thank you. Like, you didn't have to come here, and yet you did it, man.
Start with what you have. God proves people before he approves them. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Yes, we all have fantastic dreams, visions, ideas. But to realize them, we must be ready to start with what we have, where we are. Yes, you have wonderful dreams. You have wonderful visions. But to realize those dreams and visions, you have to start with what you have where you are. Many are stagnated and stranded in life, business, and destiny because they want to start big. Start small, think big, and grow bigger. God believes in people who humble themselves to start small. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, it says, who has despised the day of small things? Small things are often despised. What is starting small? Starting small simply means starting from where you are or with what you have. The problem with most people is that they feel they don't have what it takes to start. Wise man said, if you can think enough. Mentor said, if you can think enough, what you have in your hands is enough for you to start with. Hear this truth. God will never allow you to get to the point where he has nothing with you to move you to the next level. There will always be a seed in your life to meet the need of your life. I said there will always be a seed in your life to meet the need of your life. All you need to do is to discover it. In 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 to 7, a woman was highly indebted, and Elisha said to her, what hast thou in thy house? Initially, she said nothing, and later she remembered that she had something, and said, save a pot of oil. So I ask you, what is in your hands? Don't be afraid to start with what you have. Hear this truth? Nobody climbs the ladder from the top down. People climb the ladder from down up. Refusing to climb from down up, it means you want to die early. Because the only thing that starts from the top is the grave. Only grave, you start from top to down. Every other thing, you start from down to up. To say that, no, I don't believe in small starting, you are saying you want to die quick. Many are stranded because they don't want to start small. They want to start big. Nothing wrong dreaming big, but it's wrong when you're waiting to start big. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, he said, unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. So everyone has something to start with. May you start with what you have from today in the name of Jesus. Growth is a process, not an accidental occurrence. In Job chapter 8 and verse 7, Job chapter 8 and verse 7, it said, though thy beginning was small, yet thy later end shall greatly increase. Though you start small, God said your end must go up. May everything you start from today grow in the name of Jesus. Just the way you came and you have seen how God has moved us in 20 years. That's how the world will be surprised at your life the next few years from now. 2 years from now, everyone will be amazed at the lifting hand of God over your life. The louder your amen, you have a testimony. He said, though your beginning may be small, don't despise it. Start from there because your end is short. You can start as a janitor. Very soon you'll be a jet owner. You can start. It's only in the kingdom of God where men can start as janitors, what you call garbage carrier, and yet tomorrow you can be a jet owner. It's only in the kingdom of God such things happen. Your story shall be bigger than what I've shared now. Louder, amen. You have a testimony. Jesus did not despise five loaves and two fishes. He didn't say it was too small. He had to perform the miracle with only five loaves and two fishes to feed thousands of people. Despising what is in your hand is to stop the miracle of the future. In John chapter 6, start with what is available. Stop looking for what is not available. Starting small is a proof of faithfulness. If you look at the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:21, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I make you ruler over many things." It is allowed to talk great, but start with what you have. Every business was once small. Every big business was once small. In the book of Mark chapter 4, 30-32, and he said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like the grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Most great businesses today were in small corners. But very soon that your business will become a The Almighty God started in entire race with one Adam. Today we have over 7 billion people. To say you will not start is to say you don't want to be great. Hear this truth and hear me well. Starting small does not connote that you don't have a dream. Starting small is not faithlessness. It is faithfulness. Borrowing to start is an evidence of lack of faith. Start with what you have, and God will do the rest. Say I hear. Don't stress your life by wearing an oversized coat. If you fold the hand, you may not be able to fold the back. Try to borrow to start something, you may put yourself under pressure. Obstacles to starting small. Obstacles to what? Why many people cannot start small? I'll tell you obstacles to starting small. This ministry started from one room. From what? From one room. We were living upstairs and the church was in the parlor. My wife and I, we had foam. Many people are seeing us today, there wasn't. We had our foam on the floor, pot on the floor, kitchen, the same room, the next room, about that thing again. The other room, Pastor Charles and family, downstairs, church. That's how we started. I think you saw the canopy. One day rain fell. And our heavens opened. The thing blew the canopy. So we are holding the canopy so I say it will not fall. I say, be under an open heaven. Amen. If we say no, we will not start until we start like the cathedral. Would have died since. That was the dream, but we had to start somewhere. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. Shout hallelujah. Look at the picture here. Look at this. See where this was the canopy. This canopy, one day rain fell. See how I was looking that time. I think I was still 33 going to 34. So you look how I look. I used to have hair. I don't think I never had hair. plenty of hair before. You find out where the hair has gone to. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Obstacles to starting small. Number one obstacle is pride. Is what? Pride. Many would have started by saying, look at me at this, my level. Which level are you? In James 4 verse 6, is when he give her more grace, wherefore he said, God is said the pride and give her grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, 5. Pride is overestimation of self. Many would have started saying, balak balak. I can stand that way. Not me. You know where I come from. I can stand that way. That's why 5 years now you have not started what God told you to start. Number two, obstacle is despising the little. Despising what? The little. Despising the little. If you look at Matthew 25, 24 to 25, Jesus gave a parable. The man with the one talent despised it. He said, what is this? This one talent. My friend, nonsense. The seed you are despising, in that seed is a tree. In the tree is a forest of trees. And the planting of trees, there are many seeds. One orange seed you despise, in that seed is a full tree. And the tree is fruits of oranges. And on that, you have plenty of them. So when you despise the seed and throw it away, you have actually thrown away a forest, a plantation of orange trees. The man with the one talent looked at it and said, what nonsense is this? That's how many of us. What is this 5 naira? 5,000. Nonsense. What do you mean 5,000 say? Nonsense. What am I going to do with 5,000? That's why nothing has happened. Number three, why many obstacles to starting small? Not being realistic. Not be what? Not being realistic. Be truthful to yourself. Avoid self-deceit. The prodigal son, the Bible said, came to himself. He came to what? Himself. And told himself, look, this is a prodigal life. There's no point deceiving myself. I knew that I just know I would get money, so we started with what we have. I didn't say, well, I've been sleeping on bed, therefore, as we came to Paragon, I must sleep on bed. No way. I was realistic. We slept on foam. The chair was bent. I didn't use a first three to 2001. One day, a member came to our parlor and saw no chair. He said, Pastor, no chair. I said, make us to lie down in green pastures. I said, if you want chair, you buy. Don't bother me. Am I not anointed? What's your problem? The first chair we had was 2001. The man came, you know, chair. I said, sit here now, my friend. He said, am I not your pastor who pray for you to be a millionaire? And he said, Papa, Papa. So the next day he came, he brought chairs. I was truthful. I was truthful to myself. There was no point giving myself stress. So I hear. God said, preach how you started. So I'm telling you the truth. All the balloon dreams you have without results can lead you to frustration. Start now. Tell yourself the truth. Okay. This is what I'm saying. I'm going to start with 50 million. Where will you get the 50 million from? Be realistic. You have 5,000. Start with it. Now, I have a proposal. My idea is to start with 1 billion. Where will the 1 billion come from? Where will it come from? Be realistic. You don't have 1 billion. So why are you posing? Don't pose so you won't decompose. I have a fantastic dream. 5 years, you have been having a fantastic dream. And it has not been fantastic. It's not cocistic. So be truthful to yourself. Be realistic to yourself. We didn't use microphone until our first anniversary. And the first anniversary, if you see the microphone, it was a speaker that the member built. You know when he said, praise! He went, toop. You have to wait for the speaker to release it. It was built by a member. We are realistic. Well, if you shout, your voice will be higher than the microphone. The speaker, so when you say praise the Lord, you have to come because the speaker will cease. Then when it goes back, you say amen. We were realistic. We are what? I never borrowed a member's car to drive since this church started. I was realistic because if I borrow a member's car to drive tomorrow, how will he call me? I've never driven any member's car as a principle because you can carry me in your car, but I will never borrow your car. I was realistic. I don't have a car. Carry me. If you don't have, I take my taxi. One day I entered Okada to come here. My wife and I traveled to Lagos. I think we're hold up around the Rumola. So I said, my wife, you've been in the taxi. Let me go. So I stopped machine and I entered Okada and they were waiting for me at the junction. I passed them. They knew I was coming from airport, so they were waiting for me. I was in Okada. I got here. They said, "Papa, don't enter church." No, I was here. They didn't know when I passed Okada. It didn't move my status as a pastor. That you enter machine, does it change you from a pastor? Be realistic. Be what? I'm seeing myself today. I've never lived a fake life. This is me. God said, preach what you know you are past. Start small. Number four. Procrastination. Pro what? Procrastination. It is putting off impending tasks to a later time. That's the meaning. It is putting off impending tasks to a later time. Many of us would have started, but tomorrow is the yesterday of today. Yesterday is said tomorrow is already today. Next one. So in John chapter 9 verse 4, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. He said, walk now while it is time. What does do it? Do quickly. You have been saying for 3 years, you go to school, go now. But for I want to go into international business. Passport, you have? No. Have you got the visa? No. But one day, I will fly from globe to globe without passport. Amen. Stop saying tomorrow. Do it. Whatever you want to do, do it now. If it is school, attend it now. If it is business, start it now. Stop looking for what you don't have. Use what you have. So I hear. He said, that do it what? Quickly. Shout hallelujah. Number five obstacle to starting small is comparison. Is what? 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12. It says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You are who you are. Don't try to be like somebody else. Don't compare yourself with anybody. The reason many of us have not even wedded is because we are trying to do our wedding like somebody else. Are you hearing me now? Start your business. Don't compare. If a man is using a watch of 1 million naira, your own is 100 naira, watch is watch. The time is the time. If you have the money, buy. If you don't have the money, don't go and kill yourself. So see the kind of shoe you wore, silk man. You must buy that shoe. Before you, hypertension is simply hyper plus tension. Hyper plus. And because of the things we are giving ourselves, the tension we are giving ourselves, that's why many people are going over hyper. Hyper is simply hyper. Compound word, hyper together is hypertension. When you allow your life to have what? When you go hyper and then there'll be tension. Just be yourself. Be yourself. Don't compare yourself with anybody. I've never bothered about what anybody is doing. I've never asked anything where anybody is preaching. We are thankful for what God is building, but I've never seen anybody's structure say, I want to be like this structure. I don't worry about myself. I don't know how much any suit costs. I used to wear a coat. There are different between suit and coat. You know coat? Suit is different. Suit is different from coat. Where we started one day, I had one brown suit. I can tell the picture of the suit. You know, there's a way you wear a particular thing, you know how the thing look like. It's over 17 years, but I can tell you how the suit look like. So one day I wore the suit to a point, the suit got tired. So I took it to washerman, not laundry. And after they finished the suit, the hand was like this. This one was like this, this one was like this. So I looked at the suit and said, how do I wear this suit to church? One was short, one was long. I said, they dry clean it at all as they have. So I said, come, if I wear this, the church will be confused. So Pastor Achidike said, Papa, give me, let me wear. So as Achidike, when he get to church, when they say, praise the Lord, make sure your hand is up. So that no member will be confused. So they won't know that the thing is short and long. I said, if you don't keep your hands like this, make sure you'll be doing like this. Praise the Lord. So I didn't compare myself with any, but it was coat. I used to wear coat. My wife and I have gone to buy 2,000 naira coat at the kitchen. I will be in the shop, she'll be outside. I said, look well, let nobody see us. So. She has been my best friend from that time. She'll just stand there. I said, my husband, oh yeah, price quick, let's go. Amen. Don't worry your life, my friend. Are you going to say that? Don't compare yourself with anybody. Today, with all humility, I give out shoes like you give out sweet. So don't compare yourself with anybody. Start from where you shout hallelujah. Benefits of starting small. Benefits of starting small. What are the benefits? Number one, you develop strength. You develop what? If you look at Adam, Adam did not start small. Adam started as a full-fledged mustard man. That's why he failed. He came as a full-fledged man. He did not grow, so he failed. Jesus started and grew. He said, and the child grew. Luke 2:40. And was strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and grace of God was upon him. He grew. So he developed strength. He developed what? Because he grew. He didn't come in like Adam. He grew. David grew from killing the bear, the lion, and later Goliath. When you start small, you develop what? Strength. Number two, benefit of starting small is that it eliminates wastage. Eliminates what? Wastage. Jesus, because he started with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he said, gather the fragments, John chapter 6. He didn't waste them because of how he started. He never started small. Never started. Have you experienced that? People you hand over business to who didn't start small, they are the highest wasters. Just hand over a business to a man who did not start from scratch, he would destroy the business. Because he did not grow. So to him, that is how life should be. You tell him he will buy a car when he's supposed to be using a machine. He will buy a jet when he's supposed to be using a car. The highest wasters are people who never started small. It eliminates what? Waste. John 6 verse 12. Number three benefit, you overcome challenges easily. You overcome challenges easily. If you watch me and watch this church, because we started from one level to another, challenges are not moving us through. Huh? God told me, after Daniel was accused falsely, he moved to a new level. After Joseph was accused falsely, he moved to a new level. After Jesus was accused falsely, he moved to a new level. So, false accusation is another level. Are you hearing me now? But if I've never faced challenges, it can weigh you down. It makes you don't panic. You know what? Panic. You overcome challenges easily because you have gone from one level to another. Say here. You overcome what? Challenges easily. Number four, you gain experience. You gain what? Experience. You gain experience. You can, that, because you have grown, experience is there. Because you can handle one level to another. You gain experience. Check men who are small. They can tell you their wealth of experience. They say, no, I started with one block, from one block to two blocks, from two blocks to thousands of blocks, from blocks to blocks. But the man who has no experience, he is that small. So I hear. Let me close on this note. Many know how to start small, but they don't know how to make the small become big. That's where I want to close. Many can start small, but they find it difficult to move the small to big. We started small, but we are no longer small. That's where I want to close. How can you start small and take the small to big? Many can start small, but they are still small. After 20 years, if you had come back after 20 years and still see on plot 35, that would be a disgrace. True? Say from plot 35. My wife and I one day came to church. I will never forget that day. I finished service in less than 12 minutes. Preaching, opening prayer, praise and worship, everything, 12 minutes, service was over. We came like this, only my wife was the adult. All the rest were children. When I say praise the Lord, she will say amen. I said, my wife, if it's like this, how many years will we stay on earth? I finished everything in 12 minutes, service was over. Now, I can imagine if we are still at that level till now. Won't you call us? Will you come here? How can you carry the small to big? Apply the principle of John 3:16. Apply the principle of John 3:16. I'm not going to teach the same thing you think I taught. You say, yes, I know it already. It's a lie. What is the principle of John 3:16? For God... Shall we go together? Let's read together. For God that he gave that whosoever should not but have. This is how you start the small to become to make it big. Number one, God so loved the world from the beginning of your small starting, have a global dream. Let your dream be the globe. Let your dream be the globe. For God so loved the world. He came with one son, Jesus, but his dream was the entire globe. You are starting from one room, but let your dream be the globe. Ted Turner, the founder of CNN, started from one room, but his dream was the globe. The founder of CNN, his name is called Ted Turner. Ted Turner started from one room, one small room. But CNN today is the entire globe. While you are starting from one small point, let the globe be your dream. God started with one Jesus, but for God so loved the world, he didn't love only Israel. Jesus was born in Israel, but his dream was the entire globe. So when you are starting small, from the beginning, dream the globe. We started with NTA, Port Harcourt, but my vision was the globe. Today, I'm talking to people around the entire globe. Nothing wrong starting small, but dream the globe from the beginning. Number two, when you dream the globe, it says, whosoever believeth, there is nothing in this kingdom that can walk without faith. Whosoever believers. So you must have faith. You must have what? Faith that the small can become great. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe. Must what? That is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Your faith decides your future. Faith comes by knowledge of the word. Is that true? Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the word of God. Romans 10 verse 17. So number three, now that you have faith, don't just have faith, go for knowledge to increase your capacity. Go for what? Knowledge to increase your capacity. Jesus came, but he grew in wisdom. He didn't say, I'm the Son of God, and remain. He grew his capacity. For you to take the small to big, grow your capacity. Grow your what? There's a principle called the law of lead. Look at me here. The law of lead operates on this principle. Look at me. Every executive, whether church, business, family, any institution, this is you, the head. This is the organization. The organization will grow to meet you. Anywhere you stop, that's where growth stops. I come again. Whether a president of a nation, head of a parastatal, head of ministry, this is you and this is the organization. Every organization grows to meet you. The day you stop growing at the head, the organization will stop growing. No organization grows beyond the man at the top. If I stop growing, this church will stop growing. If there's no growth in your family, the head of the family is no longer growing. If a nation is not growing, the head of that nation is not growing. If the church is not growing, the pastor is not growing. If your business is not growing, you are no longer growing. So you grow. He said, this family is not growing, the head of the family is no longer growing. So you increase in knowledge. Increase in what? You can only take, the man said, I have 5 talents, but I've multiplied 5 other talents. That means increase his capacity. Many of us are praying, but we have not increased our capacity. Character without capacity will still limit you. Many have character, they are holy, but no capacity. No sin, but no capacity. You must live a righteous life, you must also have capacity. So I hear. Number 4. It says, shall not perish. Shall not what? Shall not perish. That word is where there's no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 9 verse 18. In order not to be stripped of honor and dignity, you have to be prayerful. No small thing can become great if you are not prayerful. If you are not what? Because they say, I said before you an open door, but there are many adversaries. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. So, to clear away the adversaries, for you to advance, you must pray. You must what? Because forces of darkness will contend with you as a child of God. So, you must be prayerful. You must be what? Prayerful. You must be prayerful. Number 5. For God so loved the world, he gave. What did he do? He gave. What did he do? He gave. He gave. He gave. So if your small business will be great, you must pay your tithe correctly and give offering properly. You must be a giver. If you are not a giver, you'll be limited in your growth. God did not just wish, he gave. Every man that would take small to big must be a giver. Must be a... For God so loved the world, he gave his best. He gave what? If you give trash, you can't get treasures. You can't give trash and expect treasures from God. It's not possible. If you want treasures, then you must give treasures. God so loved the world, he never gave Angel Michael. He gave his best. Businessmen hear this. The reason most businessmen have not been able to take small to big is because they give trash. They give what? Yeah, they're expecting treasure. Shout hallelujah. When we are small, I'll share this testimony because I'm about rounding off. Many times, even churches say, look, we are small ministries. Nobody's trying to help us. We are very small ministries. Nobody, all the big ministries cannot help us. We never went to any big ministry for help. We sold into the big one, and the big one took us up. You don't go to big places to help for help. You sold to the big ones for their grace to answer to you. Number six, pay the price. Pay what? The price. Pay the price. The quality of the price you are willing to pay determines the quality of your life. Exodus chapter 9, verse 10. Finally, for God so loved the world, it's not possible to ever succeed if you don't have love of God. For God so loved the world, it was love that moved him to give. So the foundation of anything you are doing is to love God and love what you are doing. Love God and love what you are what? If you don't love God and you don't love what you are doing, you won't succeed. Love God, number one, and love what you are. Anything you don't love, if you don't love teaching, you will never be a great teacher. Are you blessed tonight? Well, this is the story for 20 years, and you will have everlasting life. Everlasting what? That is salvation. No matter you do, if you like get the whole world, and if you lose your soul, you have lost all. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? So after all said and done, make sure you have heaven as your focus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So the ultimate is that you don't miss heaven. Rest your feet.
Hey everyone, Sam Evans here, and today I have Danielle Leslie on with us. And Danielle's got an awesome story. And she started a few years ago working at Udemy, which is like an online course company. And she was helping online course sellers to get more customers and generate more money using the Udemy platform. And she got started there, and then later on she decided to start her own business helping people start their first online course. So really helping people who have some experience or like a really good story or things that they've learned from that they can teach other people to help them in their own lives, and helping them really take that knowledge and turn it into an online course that they can sell and generate money doing it. And Danielle's been pretty successful with this. She, within her first 2 years of doing this, she was making $130,000 per month. And then Danielle joined Consulting Accelerator and then Quantum Mastermind. And then very quickly, she was able to get to about $250,000 per month. And then in January this year, you had a month where you made, what, $850,000?
Yeah, $830,000.
So those are some pretty awesome numbers in a pretty short amount of time. And on today's interview, we're going to discuss how that happened and really dig into some of the details so that you can learn from Danielle's experience. So thanks for jumping on with me today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So let's go back to Udemy days. And you're sitting there and you're helping these online course sellers. Why did you decide to leave and really start your own thing?
Yeah, so it's interesting because by the time I got to Udemy, I had already actually tried creating, well, I'd already created and launched my own course in 2012 just on my own. So I had my first kind of launch just on my own, doing a live version, basically what I teach today. And when I reached a ceiling with that, that's when I joined Udemy to kind of like level up. So at Udemy, I got to kind of, I guess, learn more. And I learned that actually you can create a course on any topic. And I learned that you don't need an audience.
Okay, today's jump off topic or end off topic is Quilts 101, Ancestor Wealth. And to share this with you, if you go to our Facebook page, which is Build Solar Homes, Bill, go to Facebook and just type in Build Solar Homes. And or Build Solar Homes at Earth Wealth Village, excuse me, Earth Wealth Forest. But Build, and Solar Homes is one word. Build and then Solar Homes, but Solar Homes is spelled as one word. So you connect this the Solar Homes as, just spell it as one word, no space. Build Solar Homes at Earth Wealth Forest. If you go, and that's our Facebook page. If you go to that page, and then you will see what I'm talking about. In today's, this will be brief, because we're going to knock off around midday. And it's almost midday now. Quotes 101, Ancestor Wealth. Well, on this page, and then let me share it to myself. You'll see a picture of four quilts. And let me explain today's title, Quilts 101, Ancestor Wealth. All right, so my mother, and the picture at the top of the page is my mother, transitioned into another energy form about 5 years ago. He didn't leave any written instructions, traditional written instructions, you know, will, trust, all that stuff. Didn't leave any of that behind. But she left a lot of material things behind. So, and she left some expenses behind, like tax bills and all that. So, two of the houses that she left behind are in I'm in Florida, and these two houses in Louisiana. So, a big tax bill that was left. So, one of my cousins that lives in one of the houses, you know, we powwow, basically as prayer partners, for the last 5 years, I mean, 365 days for five consecutive years so far, without missing not one day, pandemic and all, on how we're going to take care of this tax debt, plus maintenance, repairs, and all this other stuff that goes along with any house. And there's two of them. All right. So we've managed to hold on to both of those houses. And then another cousin, you know, me and her were talking, and she makes quilts. Now, my mother made quilts, all right? She made a whole bunch of stuff. But my mother made quilts. So one of the things that my mother left behind was five sewing machines, but they're different. Five sewing machines, a sewing room, and a bunch of clothes, which I'm learning about quilts because, you know, quilts you can take from leftover stuff. Quilts are a way of recycling stuff. That's the way I look at it. So this one cousin, she started making quilts for her family. And of course, my mother sort of raised her because she lived with us. When she was like 15, 16 years old, I was much younger. I was like in first grade. She was in high school. So in any event, this cousin Barbara. But Barbara makes quilts. So Barbara sent me last night, some of her work. So that's what's posted on our Facebook page. All right. Now here's where today's title comes in at. And if you go to our Facebook page, which is Build Solar Homes, Solar Homes is one word. Solar and then homes, there's no space. Just build space. Then Solar Homes is spelled as one word. That's our Facebook page, Build Solar Homes at Earth Wealth Forest. So you scroll down a little bit, and you'll see Quilts 101, and then you'll see a picture a little collage there of four quilts. That's my cousin Barbara. That's her work. And I don't know who taught her how to sew. I don't know, you know, I don't know if my mother did, but my mother made quilts, Barbara makes quilts. So I'm having Barbara teach me, as well as my other cousin, because the cousin I was talking to this morning, I said, look, and I sent her pictures of what Barbara sent me. I said, look, we have the capital investment already. We have the sewing machines. We got plenty. I've got at least three rooms of materials that we can make. God knows how many quilts out of. So, and we got some machines. So, and then, you know, Barbara can, you know, run us through. So Barbara gave me some instructions on what, you know, get some basics off of YouTube. I'm going to call Barbara at Friday. She gave me something to look up on Amazon, which I did when we were talking on the phone a couple of nights ago, or no more than 48 hours ago. So, but one of the things that I struck out, and let me go through what she has on our Facebook page. And the big quilt has got a picture of Barbara, okay, and then I guess some of her extended family members. But I really like that because, and we're going to the holiday seasons, because I'm going to ask Barbara, how did you get that picture on, you know, it's because this is cloth. So she made a customized quilt with, you know, family pictures on it and whatnot. In my experience in the world of quilts, and my mother left behind some quilts here, but none of them are unique like this because every family is unique. So that's something that can sell, because what I was talking to my other cousin, Annette, that's my primary prayer partner on these two houses, is essentially what we're doing is, because my mother, one of the things she did was she made quilts. Her paycheck job was an RN, registered nurse, nurse anesthetist. But her passion was sewing. My grandmother taught her how to sew. And she can look at the clothes on your back, take a newspaper, take a common newspaper, make a pattern out of that, take any kind of material, level. She just knew how to do that. Knitting, crocheting, the whole nine yards. So I'm looking at, that's why I say my mother transitioned into another energy form. So that's how I'm looking at it. So she left behind the hardware, and I'm looking at, you know, she can live again through a business idea, because I'm looking at I was having a discussion with Annette this morning. I say, look, all we need to do is have Barbara guide us through on how to make quilts. We can make a podcast. We can have classes. We can do retreats, you know, on how to make a business model out of this whole thing. And essentially pay, because there's no mortgage on these two houses, but we need to extinguish the tax burden and then build up a cash reserve for each house, because there's two of them, a cash reserve for each house, a maintenance fund for each house, and an expense account for each house, just in case, you know, I might have to fly out, because I've had to do that in the past, fly out, and we got the money there for expenses to cover the plane tickets, transportation, food, and all that other stuff. Three separate accounts for each, a total of six accounts for two houses. All right. That can be done with quilts. So anyway, that's where we're at now. Now, that goes to ancestral wealth. So here's what I want to go with the ancestral wealth part of that. I truly believe, because like my mother didn't leave behind any will or any trust or nothing like that. If you have a loved one that has transitioned, or even if they haven't transitioned, if you've got an expense to pay, a bill to pay, you're looking for a side hustle, maybe you're looking for a new career, okay? Somebody who has transitioned has left behind something that you can turn into money. You can monetize it. It could be an idea. It could be their work ethic. It could be, in the case of what we're talking about today, a quilt. All right. It could be something, and we've heard on here before, a Mignon Francois. Black woman with seven kids, lights cut off, water cut off, was in foreclosure. She took her grandmother's ancestral wealth, which was grandma's cupcake recipe. She didn't even know how to make cupcakes at the time, as simple as that is. But she had two daughters that did know how to make cupcakes. And she turned that into a million-dollar business. Ancestral wealth, something that grandma left behind. So that's the way me and Annette are looking at, and throw Barbara in too, because Barbara actually that's what she does now. Okay. So ancestral wealth, every last person's got it. And it doesn't have to be in the form of a bank account or spelled out in a will or in some type of a family trust, but it can be, there's something that somebody always leaves behind. You just had to get quiet, think about it, maybe pray about it, because me and Annette have been prayer partners for 5 consecutive years, haven't missed a day, and now somebody on the other side, you know what, hell, quilts, and I've been sitting around it the whole time. The whole time. So, so we have a mentor all within the family. So, like I said, there's always something close to you. So, we'll let you know when we'll start doing podcasts. We'll be doing workshops, maybe even a retreat or two or whatever. We're going to see what goes, but you don't have to do quilts, but pick something that, like I said, there's something that somebody who's transitioned that they've left behind, and they don't have to be family members. It can be anybody, you know, somebody that you know, didn't know or didn't relate, you know, or whatever. But there's something out there. But more than likely, it's for people that say, well, my whatever didn't leave anything behind. They did. They did, except we have been, in our modern society, we have been conditioned to look for, you know, it be spelled out in a will or maybe some type of a trust, you know, that somebody left behind a bank account. No, a bank account is finite, but an idea or a recipe or a strategy that can be monetized is infinitely worth a whole lot more. So, ancestral wealth, there's plenty of it out there. And then once you start doing something, other ideas start to pop up. I mean, because I'm just thinking about, well, all right, you can make a quilt, then you can make pillows. That's, you know, I don't know what they call it. Housewares, bedwares, I don't know what you call it. You know, just like bed, bath, and beyond. Make soaps. You can make, there's a whole lot that can pop. So if you think about it a little bit, whoever transitioned left behind an industry, it all depends on the size of your thinking. On that note, we shall be back tomorrow to give you, well, Friday, we'll give you an update on ancestral wealth with quilts, as well as tomorrow we'll get back into 1 acre. In other words, forget about trying to get 40 acres. Concentrate on getting 1 acre. That 1 acre of land, and once again, an acre of land, size of a football field, there's quite a bit of wealth there, but most people don't know how to recognize it or access it. On that note, that's it for today. It's a little bit, well, it's midday, so we'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of the day.
At Jiffy Lube, we car about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking car off business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll car for your car like we car for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.